Every Thursday night, you ask the questions, DT gives you his answers. No holds barred.
It's Q&A with Don Tony. This is your chance to speak your mind and be heard about anything.
Q&A with Don Tony. And now, your host, Don Tony.
Oh my God, we got to get rid of that intro. Oh God, it's not the Thursday that I have an issue with. What the hell was I wearing that night? Not only is my, I know we were probably mocking old Don Tony from years back, but the shirt was open from down to here, and my chest hair was kind of like more gray at the time. Believe it or not, my chest hair is darker now. I don't know. I don't know what. And the person that made that intro just went with that. I look at it. I'm like, are you kidding me? Oh, we got to change that. We got to change that shit up soon. What's up, everyone? I am back once again for your latest mailbag. And let's get right into it, shall we? All right. Ronald McDonald is in the house. Have I seen the Mandy Rose fan time content yet? And if so, was WWE right in releasing her? Yeah, I've watched it. All I could say is, I don't remember if it was green or if it was blue. I think it was green. Watch the video where she's wearing just green panties and a bra. When she bends over, showing her ass, you could see, you know, it's very revealing. Lots of skin. Not totally revealing, but enough. A lot of her bras are see-through. Listen, I have been one of the biggest supporters of Mandy Rose, not since she's been released, but for a couple of years now. And a lot of you that are on my Patreon will vouch for me on this. The night that she lost the championship to Roxanne Perez, we still had no idea what was going on. No word, no hint that she was going to be released. But I did a 15-minute verbal tribute comparing her to early days of Trish Stratus. When Trish came into WWE as a fitness model, you know, and you knew that she loved sports, almost like a tomboy, but we never thought that she would amount to being a legit women's pro wrestler. And, you know, understand that era was a little bit different as well. It was more TNA than anything else. And I don't mean total nonstop action. But as time went on, you know, Trish took this very, very seriously. And she is now one of the most beloved women's wrestlers of our generation and successful as well. I put Mandy Rose in that category, not on the Trish level, but as far as, you know, really taking this seriously and really, really upping her game in the ring. With that said, though, you know, you got to separate. You know, I got criticized very recently about my Vince McMahon podcast, you know, talking about everything about his return. And, you know, I had somebody say that after a while, it sounded very boring. None against the person who sent this. I respect everybody's opinions out there. If you're a supporter of the show, speak up. Definitely voice your criticism. But he was saying to me is I should have added a lot of comedy or swear words and this and that. I'm like, no, sometimes when you tell things like it is, it can come off as boring. And, you know, with the Mandy Rose stuff, look, I could act like a male chauvinistic pig right now, or I could just tell you, you know, answering his question honestly. Don't get me wrong. She's very, very attractive. The videos, I think people are getting their money's worth. But if I was WWE, especially the corporate side of it and the sponsors and the advertisers, what she was doing is well over the top. She knew what she was doing. And if I was WWE, would I have released her? Yes, I would have. Believe it or not, she... you know, I think word is going to come out soon. She'll start getting into it a little bit more. And I think as people start to dig deeper and deeper, I think probably around October, November is when she pretty much knew that, you know, you're getting very close to crossing the line. I think once November came in and people started hearing about this page. And by the way, for all of you out there to keep asking me, is Mandy Sachs supposed to be like a, you know, male genitalia term, you know, sax, you know, because, no, when I joked about it with a Beavis and Butthead reference, I was talking like, if you ever watched Beavis and Butthead back in the day, if you said a word that could be misconstrued for something sexual, they would always giggle. And when you hear Mandy Sachs, you immediately think, you know, like hanging male genitalia. Shout out to Manscaped. No, but at the end of the day, that's just an abbreviation for her last name. You know, I don't remember her last name, Sakamora. I know Saxamanto. She's Italian. But they call her Mandy Sachs for short. That is not anything with genitalia. But no, I would have let her go. Honestly, I would have let her go. People don't want to accept the fact that the entire roster was told in advance what they could and could not do. She was fully aware. Let's be honest. I'm happy she made $1 million plus. I'm happy that she's doing well. And I do believe she'll be back in the WWE at some point in 2023. I really do. I don't think it's the end of the world. I think that eventually she will be back. And her stock is well worth it. It's well worth it. Plus, understand, she's a good person. And remember, just because you do little risque content doesn't make you a bad person. But Mandy, outside of wrestling, is so beloved and so liked. And not just because of her looks. She genuinely is a good person. And people like that, you know, you want to see, you know, back in the game. And who knows? Maybe she ends up making some cameos on AEW. I'm not that sure, though, because if she's trying to maybe get back in the good graces of WWE, maybe one of the things you don't do is pop up on an AEW episode. But we will see. We will see. Thank you for that, Ronnie. Kevin Milwaukee, which pro wrestler am I tired of talking about the most, but I have to because they're in the news so much? Wow, that is a pretty damn interesting question. I mean, all your questions are interesting, everybody. But that one, you really got to think. Has anybody really been annoying? I can't think of anybody offhand. You look at the WWE roster, I mean, I know a lot of you are still not buying in on Dominic or Austin Theory and others, but they're not really in the news. You know, is anybody really in the news? I mean, on AEW side, you hear Jericho's name brought up a lot, CM Punk's name, even though he's no longer with AEW. Believe it or not, damn, I love this wrestler. But I'm kind of sick and tired of seeing a lot of the news articles. Eddie Kingston. And it's not Eddie Kingston's fault. I just see a lot of shit being written online about Eddie Kingston. Oh, he's being buried. You know, people still don't even understand when Eddie Kingston made the term about fuck boys. I think that was more about Rick Ross, you know, with his F-bomb. You know, because he wrote that, I believe, right after Rick Ross's, whatever his name is, F-bomb. Some people interpret that much differently. And I see a lot of this buzz online about Eddie Kingston. I wish people would stop it. It's not him doing it. And I'm a huge fan of him. I just think a lot of people out there just putting way too much stuff out there. You know, it's a shame that he's not used in AEW more. And yeah, once you start talking about him, he'll make an appearance on a Rampage or Dynamite. And then it's pretty much back to, you know, AEW purgatory. But, you know, at the same time, though, he's getting paid quite well in AEW. Do I see him in WWE? I'm not so sure. You know, indies, he's working the indies. So if he leaves AEW, that's a substantial payday that's no longer there. Who's going to make up that kind of money? Makes you think a little bit. But thank you for that, Kevin. Indigo Uchiha. Do I think 2022 is AEW's worst year booking creative-wise? No, I don't think so. I don't think 2022 was that bad for AEW. I mean, look, the CM Punk stuff, the injuries, is really the story of 2022. AEW hasn't really changed their style of booking and creative in 3 years. They really haven't. I mean, let's be honest. You watch a Dynamite, you watch a Rampage, you can predict the winners of 98% of all the matches. You look at a preview for Dynamite, you could almost predict it every single time. You know, and even some of the matches where we really should, you know, not be able to predict it, you pretty much can. The most recent one was Darby Allin and Samoa Joe. You know, as soon as we realized Darby Allin was going to be in his hometown, and we talked about it on the Patreon show a couple of days ago that, hey, if Darby and Samoa Joe main event Dynamite, you know he's winning that title. Because Tony Khan's got that formula with certain people. And most recently, Daniel Garcia was the most notable in his hometown and main eventing and winning a championship. I think the matches being too predictable is an issue, but I think injuries has probably been just as much of a problem. You know, just thinking about the Undisputed Elite, what that has turned into, and Thunder Rosa and CM Punk stuff, obviously. Look, if CM Punk never got injured those two times, I wonder if we would have had the controversy. I think that might have been addressed and nipped in the bud much sooner. Who knows? Maybe CM Punk would have shot on the Elite much sooner. But no, I don't think in any way 2022 was their worst creative-wise. I think they didn't put as much effort in Rampage, though. From a year before, I think they just figured because AEW and because it's an alternative and because we're supposed to love five-star, four-star, three-and-a-half-star matches, you know, just based on, you know, the quality of the match instead of the characters and the storyline, you know, it is what it is. So thank you for that. Sammy, why do I always wear a hat on the show? Do I have male pattern baldness? And he claims he's just kidding. No, I don't have male pattern baldness. My hair's a little short right now due to a haircut, but I got no bald spots. I think it's getting a little grayish, to be honest with you. Probably a little hair dye's in order. Nah, I mean, you know, many times when I do the shows late at night, you know, I'm watching Raw, I'm laying in my bed, I'm taking notes, and when I get up, my hair, it's all messed up. I don't want to go in the bathroom and start washing it and styling it and putting gel and hair blowers right before we go live. So I throw a hat on, and it kind of made like a little bit of a trademark. You know, it's almost like a look that I have. That's why I wear the hat. But no, it's not because of any baldness in any way. But thank you for that, Sammy. All right, run DMG 10, 12, 14. I don't know if that's a wedding anniversary, an anniversary of something. Maybe it's your date of birth. Want to send me a social while you're at it? The Rock will be the 30th man in the Royal Rumble and win the Royal Rumble. Should I bring my hopes down or is there a chance? Bring your hopes down. The Rock winning the Royal Rumble, I think, would piss off fans. The Rock is beloved. Don't get me wrong. But fans want to see a wrestler who, you know, is committed to wrestling, you know, 365 days, close to 365 days a year. It doesn't mean they have to wrestle 365 days a year, but they want someone who is a regular, even if they've been injured. They want someone who's going to stick around when. I don't think The Rock has any chance of winning a Rumble. Could he be in the Rumble? Sure. I think some people would find it a pleasant surprise. I don't know if you actually put The Rock as a surprise, though. You know, and I also don't think you put him in the Rumble. I put John Cena in the Royal Rumble 10 times over The Rock right now. The Rock appears at Mania because it's Hollywood. Yes. I don't think The Rock is needed for the Royal Rumble. I think the Royal Rumble, you focus on your regular stars. Having those important names win their Rumbles, get their championship opportunities at Mania. The Rock would be a fun, pleasant surprise. It would be really interesting if he were to win it. But no, I don't see that happening. I really don't. Not this year, to be honest with you. Tom Lowry, do I think it's a long shot for The Rock at WrestleMania or a real possibility still? No, I think it's a real possibility. Because they're going to be in Hollywood, you know, it would look almost ridiculous that The Rock is not at WrestleMania this year. He's got to be at WrestleMania. He will be at WrestleMania. It's not even a question. The Rock, listen, unless there's a movie and he's forced to be in a different country and there was absolutely, positively no way, shape, or form that he could show up, you know, then I would buy that. But no, The Rock absolutely will be at WrestleMania. So, no, it's not a long shot. The question is, what will he do at WrestleMania? I'm not buying in him versus Roman Reigns anymore. That could still happen, but I'm just not buying it. You know, I would I rather see him be a special guest referee? I think we talked about this bunch of months ago, and I know a lot of you hated my idea, but I don't know if The Rock necessarily has to have a match at WrestleMania. I think it'll still happen, but I don't think it's the must-see as we originally thought it would be a year ago. And we've been talking about The Rock versus Roman Reigns for well over a year. So, yeah, I do believe he'll be there. Absolutely. Mark Hicks the second. If the Public Enemy chose to not sign with WCW in 96, do I think they would have fared better in the WWF? Or did they make the right decision at the time? And also, who are my dark horse picks for the winners of the Royal Rumble this year? My picks, I have not wavered from. Becky Lynch winning the Rumble, Rhea Ripley winning the Chamber. You could flip-flop that. I wouldn't flip-flop it. I think Rhea winning the Chamber fits her persona and her, you know, just the physical, you know, intimidating features about her. Winning the Chamber, I think, fits her better. On the male side, I go Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. I think Cody wins the Rumble. Seth wins the Chamber. They could swerve us. I do think Seth and Cody are going to be two of the final members in the Rumble. I think they're going to be the final two or in those final four. And I think everybody and their mother would expect Cody Rhodes. It might come off as a little too predictable for Cody Rhodes to win the Royal Rumble. So it would not surprise me if Seth wins the Rumble and Cody wins the Chamber. But you could go either way, but I'm going with those four to win it. And as far as Public Enemy, you know, I was pissed when they left ECW to go to WCW in 96, but I actually liked their WCW run. I mean, we understood that they couldn't go as hardcore as what they were doing in ECW. I mean, my God, God bless Ted Petty and, you know, Johnny Grunge. But Johnny Grunge got much heavier in WCW, and they couldn't do what they used to do. And then they came back. See, a lot of people still think that Public Enemy went from WCW to WWF eventually. And that's not true. They actually went back to ECW for a very short period of time. And by then, a lot of us just didn't, you know, ECW fans moved on as far as them and ECW. It didn't feel the same. And when they showed up in WWF, especially, you know, with the attitude that they had, personally, I think Public Enemy did the right decision going to WCW in 1996. If they went to WWF in 1996, I think they would have been squashed like a grape. Maybe not as quickly, but I can't see how the Public Enemy would have created like a little bit before what the Dudleys ended up mapping out in WWE. Look at what the Dudleys have done in the WWE. I mean, it's historic. I don't see Public Enemy coming anywhere close. And they would have been in there before the Dudleys. So, no, I think Public Enemy going to WCW was absolutely the right decision, in my opinion. Definitely, definitely. They would not have gotten anywhere near that kind of push in WWF. Rams fan, after I finish my shows, what is the first thing I do besides upload the audio or the video? Sometimes I'll go to the bathroom. Sometimes I have to use the bathroom, especially if we're sitting here for a while. I never get up to go to the bathroom during a show unless there is an accident about to happen, which never, I think only one time in the 26 years did I ever have to end the show early because I had to take a dump. I honestly, I mean, and I don't have any issues like that I can't hold it in, but no, usually after I do the show, I will, you know, use the bathroom. I will get something to drink and just check my emails, look at what I have to do at the office the next morning and go to bed. Probably the first thing I do is pop an Ambien, actually. I take a sleeping pill as soon as the show ends. This way I could hopefully fall asleep within an hour of doing the shows. But that's really it. Many times when I do the shows, my wife is already sleeping. So, you know, I just pop a sleeping pill, use the bathroom, get something to drink, check my email, see what I got to do the next day at the office, and call it a night. Thank you for that, Rams fan. Mike T, since I am having his girlfriend on for FD4, Forbidden Door 4, okay, give us some dirt on Matt Riddle. Man. See, listen, I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm not trying to be a party pooper. But, you know, my word is my bond. You know, if anybody remembers the bus trip stories with XPW, why, you know, I used to sell out 3-4 buses at a time when Slash ripped off the people on the bus trip and I refunded everybody out of my own pocket the next day. You know, people still bring that up to me to this day. Wrestlers who have kept in secret with me specific things, you know, there are stories that, you know, I have never made publicly that are very, very raw that would be headlines. I'm not one to, you know, just play gossip. You know, if someone tells me in confidence, listen, DT, please don't make this public, but blah, 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 blah. Believe it or not, as I record this, I'm supposed to call Misha Montana tonight, Matt Riddle's girlfriend, to start setting up this. I don't want to call it an interview, a conversation we're going to have for Podcast Forbidden Door. But I'll say this. She has told me pretty bluntly what has been going on with Matt Riddle. And what's been going on with some of these dumpster fires that I've talked about in the past, too. And understand something, too. You know, the reason why she's coming on is because, you know, I come across as someone that can be trusted, someone that is not looking for gossip, hits, views, likes, retweets. You know, I just throw it out there. And, you know, there are a lot of people out there that do want their voice heard, that do want to clear stuff up. The problem is, who do you go to? You know, you go to a lot of these places, and some of those places are more concerned about how many hits they could get than actually posting the truth. You know, so, you know, I'm very honored by that. And me at my age, like, I'm way past the, oh, let me get attention by throwing gossip. I will say this. Not everything that you have read publicly about Matt Riddle is true. Not even close in some cases. The thing is, and this is a point that she has brought out, I'm sure Matt has brought out indirectly, let's say it like that, and others. You can't, especially when you're a celebrity, a public figure, you can't go out there and shoot down every time somebody throws a claim against you. You have to ignore it, especially when people realize that if they could throw something at, listen, how many times have you seen even the, look, here's a good example. All right. Somebody wrote recently on a wrestling website complaining about how women put on too much mascara. And the person who wrote it has been a journalist or aspiring journalist online for over 20 years, has never showed their face. You don't even know what the person looks like. And that person is making criticism about women and how they wear their mascara. And a lot of women were very, very offended by it. Very offended by it. Somebody wrote something recently about Chelsea Green. Oh, no, actually, Britt Baker's even better story. That a girlfriend of a former WWE superstar. And it was such a ridiculously awful story about Britt Baker. And people out there in the business asked that website to please take that down because the way they worded was so clickbait and it made her look so negative. Instead, they were celebrating how much attention that they were getting. A lot of these sites are more concerned about getting the attention. Look at that Steve Carrier guy, that dirtbag. That guy has said some of the most awful stuff and has offended a lot of people in wrestling. And when they respond back and they fight back at him, he thinks it's a badge of honor. He thinks that he accomplished something good. The one thing that you notice with a lot of these wrestling news sites is they never go to wrestling conventions. They never go up to the wrestlers that they talk about and say, hey, so-and-so, hey, I'm Steve, Ringside News. Because I think a lot of these people know that they may not get punched in the mouth. They may not get physically assaulted. But I guarantee you a lot of these people would be yelled at, cursed at, embarrassed, and ejected from events. You know, a lot of these people, you know, they do their stuff online. This is their only way of getting attention. And that's it. That's it. So I don't want to put stuff out there that I think that Matt Riddle himself would want to put out there. And I do know for a fact he does not want to go out there and address the accusations about ecstasy and cocaine. And it would be disrespectful for me to try to address that, or her, or anybody else. That is something that if he wants to do it, he will. So all I'll say is that a lot of what you've read is not even close of being true, especially with some of the women. There's one woman in particular, I'll give you a little dirt. There's one woman in particular who thought that she had this serious relationship with Matt Riddle, and it ends up that they hooked up like once every month or two. Like they only hooked up a couple of times. And, you know, they would text and they would email, but they would not hang out for like 2-3 months at a time. And when they hooked up, it was casual. You know, Matt Riddle is a divorcee. You know, there's been some mental health stuff as well. And sometimes when you're a single person, male or female, especially if, you know, you are hurt in a relationship, sometimes there's a rebound effect. And sometimes people will go from person to person to person. And sometimes they just want company. You know, why do you think in a pro wrestling world, remember, anybody who's been a long timer with me, what did I say over 20 years ago? And I've said it many times over the years since. I said I would never date somebody involved in wrestling. Because I've witnessed with my own eyes people married, getting intimate with other wrestlers because they're just lonely. They're on the road so much, they just want company. They just want to cuddle. They just want to take a shower together. They just want to do this. They just want to do that. And me, like, I just seen so much with my own eyes of like, man, I would never want to date somebody in wrestling because I would always wonder in the back of my head if my significant other, who is a pro wrestler and she's on the road and she is lonely and she misses being home and, you know, just for a night, just to cuddle a little bit, you know, yeah, that happens. And the thing with Matt Riddle is, you know, he's had some relationships like that as well. And again, I don't want to get too deep on it, be disrespectful towards him, but the problem is when somebody falls for you, man, even if you only hook up for every like couple of months, that person is building up the anticipation of wanting to see you for a month, 2 months. And then when you finally get there and you have an awesome, unbelievable night, you know, it turns almost into a weird fetish. You know, I don't want to name any names, but I'm sure a lot of you right now know exactly the example I'm talking about. Is someone out there that has accused him of some really awful stuff and yet put a highlight video out of all the happy, funny things that they did together, like throwing it in the face of the current. This is just wild shit, man. So I ended up giving you some dirt after all. I don't think I went overboard because we're just talking real life, man. Noob and Company TV, with Asuka hinting at a character change. Will she come back at the Royal Rumble? Yes. And who will she feud with at WrestleMania 39? I think she feuds with Alexa Bliss. I think there is some work between the two. I know a lot of you are not excited by me saying that. Oh, Alexa Bliss. You know, Alexa Bliss is obviously on a wrestling, you know, talent level, nowhere near Asuka as far as what she could do in the ring. But, you know, they were friendly with each other. Remember, it was Alexa, Bianca, and Asuka. So I see those two having a little interaction, and WrestleMania will get here quicker than we realize. So, yeah, no, Asuka will return at the Rumble. Who knows? Maybe Asuka's new character will align with Alexa Bliss. You know, a lot of people think Asuka was going to turn heel. So that would be interesting. Hell, I'd rather see Asuka and Alexa Bliss maybe form a tag team with, you know, little change in characters for both. How's that? Willie G. I am offered a guaranteed six-figure salary to be a consultant at any major wrestling brand company. Would I give all this up? Well, if you're talking about podcasting only, I mean, come on. I mean, I don't break the bank doing this. So, of course, I would probably give this up. As far as my personal work, I wouldn't give it up. No. Because pro wrestling is such an uncertain business. And if I end up leaving all the work that I do on the outside, go to wrestling, and then 6 months, a year later, I lose it, you know, I'm left with nothing. So could I work for a wrestling company right now? Yeah. I mean, I could definitely do enough, you know, to work for a wrestling company, sure. You know, I wouldn't be on the road, you know, every day of the week. But if I had to travel 2 or 3 days a week, I could absolutely do it. I do have a secretary that does a lot of my workload. So, and I'm not in the office all the time for physical reasons and other reasons. So, you know, if I was offered to do something, you know, part-time or a little bit more than part-time for a wrestling company, depending on what it is, yeah, I would do it. But I would probably do something behind the scenes. You know, I'd love to do the managing stuff again. But, you know, I've said this a few times the last year. I had 3 wrestling promotions here in the Northeast over the last 2-plus years say to me, DT, once COVID gets a little bit more under control, would you want to do your, you know, Don Tony manager character again? And I said, yeah. And I think I would physically be even better than before because at that time, you know, I was before the spinal stimulator. The spinal stimulator has been a game changer for me, but that's never, you know, developed. So I probably would rather do something behind the scenes. But, yeah, I would love to entertain an offer, absolutely. So believe it or not, everyone, we're almost done. How long are we going so far? 31 minutes. I think we'll be done in about 15 minutes. Like I said, I don't mind doing these mailbags more often. We just get through the questions quicker, and the more we do it, we keep them fresh, too. Havili, there's a rumor there will be a Hell in a Cell match at the Royal Rumble. If so, which is the best choice, Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens, 3, or Edge versus Finn Balor, 2? First of all, there's not going to be a Hell in a Cell match at the Royal Rumble. It would be overshadowed by the Royal Rumble matches themselves. So I don't know who put out that rumor. Even the cage match with Brock versus Lashley, I don't buy into that either. I think that would be overshadowed by the Rumble matches too. But of those two matches, Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens, absolutely. That actually would deserve a Hell in a Cell. I actually think that would be a great Hell in a Cell match between those two guys. But, you know, that's not happening at the Royal Rumble though. Definitely not happening. Steve Barbie, who will be the biggest feud of 2023 that's not associated with the bloodline? Oh, that's a good question. If you look at the WWE side, man, I mean, does it feel like Seth is going to have a gigantic feud in 2023? No. I don't know, man. I mean, on the women's side, I don't see any major. See, the thing is that not too many people have 3-4 month plus feuds. Maybe something with Bray Wyatt. Maybe. But even Sheamus, Drew McIntyre, you know, once those tag team championships are no longer unified by the Usos, now you have the opportunity for not only other people to be champions, but other people to feud with said champions to get a shot. It's going to change the landscape of the heavyweight divisions and the tag team divisions. You could see a feud develop out of something. Right now, I don't see anybody having a long-term feud. I think Bray Wyatt is the likely candidate simply because it feels like whatever deal he agreed to sign to come back is very few matches. You know, house show, yeah, you get into in-ring, you know, shape a little bit, get off some ring rust. But his storylines are obviously really stretched out. That's all I see. I mean, I don't see anybody having any real long extended feuds. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing the next step for Austin Theory, the next step for Dominic, the next step for some of the other younger stars out there, some people coming up to the main roster. But no, I don't even see that on the AEW side. I don't think we're going to get any real long, even when Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, they become tag team champions, I don't see them having any really extended long feud in 2023 with anybody. I think of Drew, I think of Sheamus, I think of wrestlers on Raw. Nobody sticks out to me. So I really don't think it's going to be anybody. You know, you could even go like part-timers as well and look at it that way too. I think Bray Wyatt probably has the best possibility of a long-term feud. Gaming Mafia, did anyone from XPW pull a rib on me back in the day? No. Number one reason is because when I got to know some of those guys and we would hang out like in a restaurant, a diner, or even in my hotel room, you know, I told them about my background. So they knew that I was not in wrestling for any long period of time and just did the hotlines, you know, and then I had the infamous, you know, nudie video, not me, but on eBay at the time, had some nude coverage in there that got some attention. But no, what they would do once in a while, and I still have the camcorder tape somewhere. Maybe one day I'll put it online. The only reason why I haven't is because I always think of Sean Stasiak. If anybody doesn't know the story, Sean Stasiak, one of the legendary things that people accused him of doing was recording wrestlers without them knowing it. And no, I didn't record any wrestlers without them knowing it, but at least two times we were in my hotel room. I always got my own room whenever I did work for XPW because I didn't feel like I was one of the boys. I wasn't one of the boys. So I felt, you know, I have my own room. I keep to myself. And my room ended up being the one where everybody would hang out and smoke and drink and everything because they didn't want to pollute their own room. And I get it. But it was fun. It was fun. And, you know, you have a bunch of people in the room and then, you know, somebody sees my camcorder and they turn it on and here's Chaos cutting a promo on there and here's Jerry Lynn and Chaos doing a chop contest in the room and here's, you know, Veronica Kane in her sweats acting, you know, like you would never know about her adult film career and just everybody being down to earth and laughing and cutting promos on each other. And I always wanted to put that video public because it was so funny and so entertaining. You would see people out of their element. But the thing was, I just feel like it would invade people's privacy. Like, that's something you don't put publicly. And I always think of Sean Stasiak. I'm like, I'm not going to be that person that's going to take home movies and put it online just to, you know, show something to everyone. But nobody really pulled a rib on me back then. Showing up in my, the only time that would happen is my door would get a knock and I'm like, I didn't order no room service. And I open the door and here is Supreme and Chaos and Danny Doring and Jerry Lynn and this person and this person. They all come in, hey, and not because they liked me, let's be honest. It's because they just wanted the room to hang out. But it was fun. It was fun. I have nothing but fun memories. As little as I did, it's memories that nobody could ever take away. So, no. I was not worthy of being ribbed, to be honest with you. I witnessed some hilarious ribs, though. All right, this is the last question for tonight's show. This is from Gabriella Valentine. She's got two. First off, and she sent this right before Vince came back. Give her credit. She wrote this before Vince announced his return. Upon Vince's return as chairman, do I think he'll cooperate and be receptive to Triple H and creative alike? And also, when Logan Paul returns from injury, what kind of push does he get? As far as Logan Paul is special occasion. Logan Paul is an enigma. Logan Paul will be used very sparingly. So anytime Logan Paul can wrestle, they will put him in a program, something a little extra special. I think Logan Paul wrestles on SmackDown in 2023. I think him wrestling on Fox is a must in 2023. But Logan Paul, you know, maybe he will take on like an Austin Theory to just shut him up. You know, maybe he will face someone you know, you would kind of like expect and someone you may not expect. But Logan Paul will be used as for special occasions. It's kind of like that fancy tablecloth, if any of you still use them, fancy tablecloth that you only use, or your fine china that you take out once in a blue moon. You're going to have some people over, special people. Oh, you got to put out the nice glasses. That's how Logan Paul will be used. And yes, Logan Paul is returning, definitely. And as far as Vince goes, listen, remember what I said earlier about someone criticizing me about being boring talking about the Vin stuff. You know, when you do talk facts, many times it is boring. You know, that's why people spice things up. When you watch Teddy Hart on Peacock, you think that's how he is in real life? In many ways, yes, but they up it 10 times to sensationalize it for entertainment purposes. Growing up Gotti, I always use that example. I knew the Gotti family, all right? And my friend, who just cut my hair very recently, cut the whole family's hair. And the Gotti sons would always complain that the show producers wanted them to act and exaggerate everything so it's entertaining for TV. When you see these real ghetto housewives of from wherever, you know, you think they fight that much in real life? Even those Italian chicks, the mafia wives or whatever, you think they fight like that in real life? Nowhere near that, but they exaggerate and enhance it for entertainment purposes. So when I say this now, it might be boring, but I think Gabriella wants the honest answer and not an exaggerated answer that might get hits and views. I truly believe Vince McMahon will be on his best behavior. I think Vince McMahon knows that if there's any perception that he's just right back to where he was before the scandals, you know, were revealed, I think that will sour the stock market. I think it'll sour investors. I think Vince McMahon knows there are people that have a vendetta against him. And that's nothing new. You go back to, my God, who's that schmuck from the New York Times? Oh, God, I'm drawing a blank right now. I know Phil Mushnick. I had to mention his name. Otherwise, we would have had 100 people on the comments. It was Phil Mushnick you were talking about. And I appreciate that. Phil Mushnick. That goes back to the 80s. So this is nothing new for Vince. But right now, especially when you're negotiating a sale or an M&A, you know, it's kind of wild that nobody's talking about the M&A portion of this yet. You know, I'm kind of blown away. I think that's going to blindside a lot of people. I think the M&A is much more realistic than a sale. But I think especially with all those circumstances, Vince wants as little negative attention on him as possible. Not just amongst, I mean, the news, there's nothing you can do. There's always going to be someone out there that's out to get Vince. But as far as the employees, the staff, creative, Triple H, wrestlers, office people, I think Vince wants to show everybody that this time around, he's going to be focused on the corporate, executive, the transaction, sale, M&A. And I think he's going to go out of his way to show people that he is not going to interrupt what's going on, everyday operations with WWE. Why would he? Why would he? Do you see? You think he does it so he could laugh at me or laugh at you or laugh at other podcasters, everybody else getting emotional, cursing him out? You think he does that? And he's like, ah, that's for so-and-so for saying this shit on his podcast. He doesn't give a shit. Guy wants to make the most. Listen, when you make money and you have so much money, you're shitting out money, you know, after a while, you know, you don't need that much money. But it's almost like an adrenaline. It's almost like, you know, like a chemical reaction. It's never enough. And the power is obviously there as well. I think Vince is going to go out of his way to avoid the day. Let me put it this way. The only people that are going to claim otherwise are the news media that's either looking for hits or just don't like Vince. But I think everybody behind the scenes day to day, I think they're going to realize that, no, you know, Vince is staying pretty much, you know, out of the way. And that's why the stock market, listen, I'll leave you with one thing. We'll go. Whether you like what I'm saying or you don't like what I'm saying, or if you think it's boring or you think it's funny, think of it like this. The stock market, the investors, stockholders, advertisers, they could care less about WWE Creative. They could care less about emotional pushes, deep pushes. They just care about the bottom line. They care about numbers, period. And as long as those numbers stay strong, they are happy. And the reason why this stock went up 20%, simply because Vince is returning. that showed them that they felt comfortable enough that Vince McMahon is a smart enough businessman that he's not going to fuck up the momentum that WWE has right now financially. Financially. Not the creative, financially. And when you look at it like that, I think that's why, you know, listen, if it changes, we'll talk about it. We'll address it. But, you know, there's a reason why those numbers went up the way they did. I guarantee you, a lot of those Vince haters in the wrestling world, I think all expected the stock to tank when Vince announced his return. That's why I think so many of just avoided the fact that the stock went up 20%. They focused on creative because creative is what will trigger wrestling fans, because a lot of wrestling fans don't pay attention to the business side. We do. I do. All right, everybody. I'm out of here. Much love as always. We will definitely do the next mailbag, probably in 2 weeks. We'll give everybody some time to submit some questions. You could either email me, dontony@dontony.com, or I will, in the next couple of days, post a thread in the community section on YouTube. You could post your question there. And, you know, once again, shout out to all of you, wherever you tune in, whether it's YouTube or Patreon or the audio side, iTunes, wherever. I appreciate each and every one of you, and I thank you for making this so much fun and being interactive, because I love the questions. I love the responses, the agreements, disagreements, the criticism, the praises. Always send them. You know, that is the most important thing. And yeah, I'm really enjoying these, and I hope you're enjoying them as well. So be well, everybody. Much love, and I'll catch you all in the next one. Ciao.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. Doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.